Well, this was probably the audio clip of the weekend, Lee.
Okay.
Zoran Mondami wants to tax people by race and wouldn't back down off of it either when asked by poor Kristen Welker, who was trying her best to save him, throw him a lifeline,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But it didn't work. Here's what everyone was talking about. This was a front page of the New York Post.
You're saying we're simply describing the types of neighborhoods that would see these increase in taxes, and yet by invoking race, do you run the risk of potentially alienating key constituents?
I think I'm just naming things as they are. And ultimately, the thing that motivates me in this is to create a system of fairness. It is not to work backwards from a racial assessment of neighborhoods or our city. Rather, it's to ensure that we actually have an equal playing field.
I guess he wants to name things as they are, unless it refers to men playing in women's sports. Then we,
right? No, not those. Yeah, definitely yeah. Not those.
So, just glad he's clear about at least that aspect of it. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know what? This is kind of frightening because, and you see this when he was being interviewed by Circleback Saki.
There's one of the greatest hits. I always like that one. That's good, Tara.
Yeah, well, thank you. Yeah, well, she was always going to circle back, but she never did, you know? When she was lying about stuff, she would just be like, well, I'll circle back with an answer for that. And she never would. You know, she was Biden's spokes hack. Anyway, now she's on MSNBC and lying for them. Probably pays more. So, So Mandani's on there. And he's saying, look, all Democrats should try this.
You're a proud Democratic socialist. Do you think that is a platform that would work for other candidates running in other parts of the country?
Absolutely. I think ultimately this is a campaign about inequality.
So when people say democratic socialist, do you like capitalism?
No, I have many critiques of capitalism. What I'm focused on is making the city affordable for everyone.
Yeah, okay, whatever. So, and this is what I'm afraid of, Lee. There's two ways to look at this. One of them is this is going to be so bad that voters will be reminded how bad it could be if Democrats ever got back in power. Because look, this guy, when you talk about, hey, we'll tax neighborhoods according to race. Yeah, that is the natural conclusion to all of the Democrat policies and promises you're seeing. That's where we'll end up.
Yeah, everything's the fault of the white people, particularly the white males.
Right. Who also just happen to be the very group that votes most consistently against the Democrats. I'm sure that's just a coincidence there.
Well, you're just naming things that are real.
Right. But you know what you think about when he's talking about and why he insists on calling them white neighborhoods? He doesn't just name them. He could do that. He could say affluent neighborhoods. He could say any number of things. No, it has to be white neighborhoods. Why? What he is proposing there is classic political persecution. I'm going to go after the white neighborhoods. We don't like white people. I'm going to go after white people. I'm going to persecute them. They're going to pay more. Classic political persecution. What socialists always do. Authoritarians and communists too. Same thing.
You know, my personal experience is I don't know of any white neighborhoods. Are there areas where a majority of white people? Yes. Most of the neighborhoods that I know around my area, they're Hispanics, they're blacks, they're whites. Whatever. It is New York.
Yeah. They're nuts. But, you know, this could be good, though, too, if he does end up getting elected, because there's this sort of question mark, I think, left about the Biden presidency because he was so incompetent, because he didn't control the pen. we actually have a woman's name now who did. I don't know. Some woman. It's here in the stack.
I forget. And I thought it was incredible that she talked about how she received instructions when to use the auto pen, but she didn't know who gave those instructions. What? I'm sorry. Anytime you get instructions as an executive administrator, you're going to get those instructions from a specific individual who is above you on the organizational chart.
That doesn't make it. I mean, you know who you answer
to. Yes, you
do,
of course. When we get emails here, we know exactly who they come from. They come from our boss down the hall or his boss down on the first floor, or they come from the head office in Philly from AutoStop. We know exactly where they're coming from.
Neera Tanden, yeah. Yep, you know, and if we've actually had training, you know, for phishing schemes. If we got an email, came from nobody telling us to do something, we're not supposed to even open it.
And I nailed that one, by the way. I sniffed it out immediately.
Oh, the phishing scheme?
Yes.
Yeah, I fall for those sometimes.
I think there was about like, over 100 of the company that figured it out, and I was one of those. I reported.
Good for you. So. Good for you.
That's my gold star. Look what I did.
Well, Neera Tanden would fall for that. I mean, yeah. She just gets instructions from high.
She'd be sending out the phishing emails.
Yeah. She was director of domestic policy. So, I mean, not even a high-ranking Biden official either, but put in charge of the auto pen. It's all very strange. Yeah. Anyway, the reason that we need this guy is because, you know, and part of it's the damage done by Fox News. They're the worst all day long, every day. Oh, well, the reason Iran got nukes is because Biden was weak. No, Biden wasn't weak. Biden was strong. It takes absolute brass balls to take the terror group Hamas and delist them as a terror group so they can attack your own soldiers, your own sailors, your own ships, so they can kill Navy SEALs and so they can fire on us and then fund Hamas and Iran so they can build their system. That's why this whole thing has come to a head. I mean, you got to have some cojones to do that. And Biden did. Don't tell me he was weak. And that's why Iran did with it. That didn't happen. Not real. You got to have some cojones to open the border. Catch 1,000 Iranians coming through here and go, yeah, let them go. Well, including the ones on the terror watch list. Yeah, them too.
While you send your minions to Congress to testify that the border is secure.
Yeah. This is not weakness. This is not incompetence. This is, in fact, supreme confidence. They are incredibly confident of getting away with it. Anyway, by the way, you're a Star Trek fan, aren't you?
Yes.
I don't even know how you say this guy's name. Forgive me. It's embarrassing that I don't know, but I should know. George Takei? Takei?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not a Star Trek
fan. Mr. Sulu.
Yeah. Yes. Okay, that guy. Yeah, he's trending on X right now because he is outraged. He tweeted this. The budget bill contains tens of billions to fund an army of 10,000 more ICE agents. This is a red alert moment for our democracy. First of all, we don't have a democracy. Yes. Thank God, because if we had a democracy, that would be worth a red alert. You would have changed the entire governing system in the United States of America. We don't have a democracy. We live in a republic. But it has a democratic form of government, but this is a republic. Anyway.
Mr. Sulu, maintain course and speed.
Maybe he thinks he's talking about another planet.
Yes,
I don't know.
Exactly.
Not this one.
Yeah.
Okay, but think about it. These people, including him, said nothing, and this is why he's trending, when we were going to add 87,000 IRS agents. Nothing. That is not a problem. That is not a red alert for so-called democracy. But 10,000 ICE agents are?
Well,
I mean,
I will say that Mr. Takei does have some experience personally, because his family was a victim of the Democratic President FDR and the imprisonment of Japanese nationals. Well, Japanese Americans during World War II.
Okay.
I'm just saying. Historical perspective. I'm just saying that's his family's experience. But once again, I don't agree with his current, course and speed here on this issue.
Anyway, that's why he's trending.
Yeah. Okay. Well, good for him.
Yeah. By the way, have you noticed this? The LA raids have suddenly stopped. They just stopped.
Hmm.
I mean, the riots, not the raids, I'm sorry, but the riots.
Yeah,
stopped. Yeah, not the raids. They're still going on.
Right.
So Trump won.
Yeah. Well, that's what usually happens.
So that means Tyler Winklevoss was pointing this out. He's the guy who actually invented Facebook. Mark Zuckerberg stole it from him and had to pay him a lot of money. Anyway, he's got a big following on X. And he said, you know, look, these must not have been organic then because they suddenly stopped.
Well, we knew they weren't organic to begin with. We'd already identified the many in the American media on our side of the viewpoint had already identified the source of funding long time ago.
Yeah, Chinese billionaire.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, speaking of that, you got to wonder if this might have stopped those riots in L.A. The joint press conference by the DOJ, FBI, and IRS announcing for the first time they're going to look into who is funding said riots.
Mm, good.
I.e. the Democrats.
The FBI and our federal partners will continue to investigate individuals and organizations who are knowingly funding and committing acts of violence against law enforcement, as well as the destruction of property. We are currently tracing money to determine who is providing funding for these riots. Funding crime doesn't just affect the criminals, it also disrupts entire communities.
Each dollar funneled into illegal operations fuels violence, undermines law and order.
Yeah, they should have done that. We should have done this years ago. They would have done it to us if we were doing this.
I'm sure, Tara, that there will be some folks from the January 6th committee that will be more than happy to participate with them because, you know, they're all about going after people who, you know, worry about, you know,
insurrection
and violence against government officials. So I'm sure that those Democrats on the January 6th committee will be glad to help them out with that.
And, you know,
right.
Yeah, no, they're not going to look into anything. No. By the way, you know what? We still haven't seen those thousands of hours of video. Do you realize that?
Yeah, nor will we, probably.
No, I don't think we will. Remember when Kevin McCarthy was still Speaker and he announced, oh, yeah, so I've ordered the release.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, thanks. How'd that go?
Thanks, Kev.
Yeah, I'm sure they have them stored with the JFK files.
Yeah.
Yeah. In other words, it'll be another 60 years before we see them. Okay, folks, amazing about face by Canada. They decided they were going to help themselves to some freebies, taxing our social media. So think Instagram, X, Facebook. 3% tax on revenue from Canadian users. Trump said, oh, no, you won't. Canada said, oh, yes, we will. They call it the digital services tax. And Trump said, fine, we're done negotiating on the tariffs. We'll just leave them where they are. No more tariff negotiations. Yeah, we've got pretty big tariffs on Canada right now. Yeah, no tariff negotiations. We'll just leave them there. They lasted 48 hours before they caved. Mark Carney rescinding the digital services tax after Trump cuts them off from trade talks. Folks, it just goes to show you who really has all the power. It's us. We just never flexed it before. You know what would have happened with any other president? Joe Biden, even George W. Bush, strongly worded statement. Condemnation. They wouldn't have done a thing. They'd have just sat back. That'd be unpresidential. Not Trump. He just goes to war with you. Unbelievable. Okay. Meanwhile, Fox News reporting the top Iranian cleric has issued a fatwa against Trump and Netanyahu. Now, this is, and you know what's so funny about this? This is, I guess this is huge news because of the clash in Iran. The original fatwa, death sentence, calling for all believers to murder Trump and his entire staff, that was actually put on by the Ayatollah Khomeini on, it was back when it was Twitter. And remember, Trump was so horrible, we couldn't hear from him, so they took his account, but they left the Ayatollahs, where he regularly called for death to, well, just about everyone, including Trump. And then we had the actual attempts. Over the weekend, we learned of a new attempt we didn't know of before by the Iranians trying to kill Mike Pompeo when he was in Europe. So that's a brand new one. And it's not going to stop. As long as this leadership is in place, it's not going to stop. So the top Iranian cleric, so this time not Khomeini, this is a different one. So this is the second death fatwa. And they tried to word it so it wasn't completely obvious, but that's what it was. The fatwa from Grand Ayatollah Nasser Makarem Shirazi called on Muslims around the world to take a stand. States that any individual or government that challenges or endangers the leadership and unity of the global Islamic community is to be regarded as a warlord or a mohareb, defined as somebody who wages war against God. Under Iranian law, those identified as mohareb can face execution, crucifixion, limb amputation, or exile. So I got to wonder how the Marjorie Taylor Greens, the Tucker Carlsons feel this morning seeing this. I know how I feel. And folks, major news on Friday got buried by so much stuff that was going on. I don't know if you saw this. What Israel said, their foreign minister was asked, hey, so you're not going to kill the Ayatollah, you're not going to kill the theocracy, the leadership of Iran, which, by the way, is illegitimate. I mean, they rule by force. They are not elected, not in a real way or a meaningful way. Those people are slaves in their own country. And he was asked, so what, Trump told you not to take out the Ayatollah? Because remember, Trump bragged, hey, I told Israel to stop and they turned the planes around. And you know, we got the ceasefire. And Israel was very clear. And they said two things. Number one, the only reason we didn't kill the Ayatollah was because we couldn't get him. We tried. And number two, he was then asked the most obvious question, well, are you going to kill the Ayatollah or do you have to ask Trump's permission? They said, we don't need anyone's permission. That was Friday. It actually happened Thursday, but it made the rounds on Friday. Did you notice any condemnation from Trump? Did he drop any F-bombs on television? Tell Israel to stand down publicly? Mm-mm. He didn't. Because this isn't over. The Ayatollah is only alive because they haven't gotten to him yet. And I think what they're waiting on is the passage of the Big Beautiful Bill. I think once the domestic agenda is finally set and set on autopilot in a way that's going to absolutely rev the economy. I mean, when you get 100% immediate expensing of factories, Katie barred the door. I mean, it's going to be a building binge. We just got to get the interest rates down now so they can afford to borrow the money. But you're going to see an absolute boom in this economy in so many different ways. Yeah, Trump's going to have to wait till he gets that done. And that's what's going on right now. I mean, you over the weekend, and I was talking about this a little bit earlier. I mean, Trump was clear over the weekend.
If Iran,
are you from Iran?
No, I'm not from Iran. I'm from the UK. But if the intelligence reports conclude that Iran can enrich uranium to a level that concerns you, would you consider bombing the country again?
Without question, absolutely.
Meanwhile, over the weekend, this came out, and I wanted to dig more deeply into this. I tweeted about this weekend. There's three of these facilities we hit. Everybody focused on the one in the mountain, Fordo. And that was the one that CNN lied about. Claimed we hadn't taken it out, but didn't tell their viewers that they were relying on a report marked low confidence because they basically knew it was fake news. And the New York Times did the same thing. They just essentially lied to their constituents, lied to their viewers, readers, without because they didn't put that part in. They were talking about Fordo. There's two more we didn't hit. Well, one of them we hit. It's the one, and folks, this is the one that interests me in a lot of ways more than Fordo. And it's barely been reported about. It's barely been talked about. It's the one that the Chinese run. There's about 3,000 satellites that, 3,000 scientists that operate out of there. Most of them are Chinese. I should say a lot of them are. Let's put it that way just to be safe. Well, new satellite images show Iran wasting no time at Fordo. Bulldozers, excavators back in action. They're digging around bomb craters left by the U.S. bunker busters. The images reveal fresh construction near tunnel entrances and exhaust shafts over the weekend. So, look, the Iranian legislature said we're gonna put this on steroids. This nuke program, we're gonna double down, go even faster. China, by the way, just hit a record over 1.8 million barrels per day of Iranian oil. So they're funding it that way. They're buying a lot of oil from China. But folks, the really scary part is Isfahan. Wait, where? It's actually Isfahan, sorry. I always reverse those two letters. What is that? That is the heart of the Iranian nuclear program. It's run by China. Again, over 3,000 scientists worked there before we blew it up. A lot of them were Chinese. There are not one, not two, but three Chinese reactors inside that facility. They're reactor labs. They built the reactors as part of the nuclear program. Why? Because Iran's nuclear program is not Iran's nuclear program. It's China's. They're just using Iran as a proxy. Well, here's the problem. And Trump knows this, okay? That's why he's letting them know, I'm not done. U.S. military didn't bother using its biggest bunker-busting bombs on Isfahan because they knew they wouldn't work. General Kane told Congress the uranium stash is buried so deep inside of there, even MOPs would just scratch the surface. So instead of breaking in, the Pentagon slapped basically the roof in with tomahawks and called it a day. Meanwhile, the other two, Fordo and Natanz, got the full B-2 bunker buster treatment, but this one goes down so far, it wouldn't have worked. That's why they didn't do it. When you put that with the reports that the uranium wasn't moved because they would have detected it, they would have smelled it with our tech, It's because it's still at the bottom of Isfahan. That's why. And they're clearing the path to get back in that one. Folks, when you've got the head of the IAEA say they will be back in the enrichment business in a few months, that's what he's talking about. He's not talking about Fordo, which CNN lied about. He's talking about Isfahan. And by the way, there's another one. It's called Pickaxe Mountain. It's another facility. We didn't bomb that one at all. Meaning, we're not done. Not even close. Oh boy. Got this clip of Zohran Mamdani that's just resurfaced. I'm watching it at the break. This is a new one. Quote, violence is an artificial construct. Which, folks, the left has been telling us for a long time. They've maintained, even on MSNBC, that violence is speech if they are mad. We don't get to do violence, but they do. Quote from the clip. I'll try to cut it on the break and play it for you because I know how we are now. We're in a Doubting Thomas era where everything seems like it could be fake and you need to touch the wounds. You know what I mean? This one's just resurfaced from Mamdani. Quote, I want to empty the prisons. I want to empty the prisons, seize the means of production, and defund the police. What do I tell you all the time? Since 1848, since their leader published his seminal work, Marx, 1848, they've done the same thing over and over because it's what he instructs them to do. You know what they're going to do. Seize means of production, namely food and fuel, every damn time. And they implement some version of their thing, Marxism, whether it's socialism, they're calling it communism. So it doesn't matter. That's how they control. And he's just said it. Seize the means of production. That is what Marxism is. You seize the means of production. All or as many as you can get at the moment means are government controlled. If you want to understand how it works and the reason I can see it so well, probably one of my favorite books ever, written by Ayn Rand. It's We the Living. And Ayn Rand, the author, if you've listened to me for a long time, you've heard me say this before, Ayn Rand grew up in the USSR. She was able to escape. And there are very few people from inside that country that have gotten out and then written about what it was like and how it went down, how it happened, how they kept control. A lot of Americans would think, well, in the USSR, you're probably just afraid you'll disappear in the middle of the night, right? It's like secret police or something. That's how they control you. It's not. It's actually something much smarter and more efficient than fear. It's hunger. Seize means of protection. What is he going for first? Grocery stores. They always do. That and fuel. They always go for those first. You can look up the Ukrainian Holodomor. You can look up Stalin did it. Mao did it. You can look up the Communist Revolution. They start 50 million. Seize means of production. And that's exactly what they did in the Russian Revolution. She came from a middle, kind of upper middle class family, and she watched the whole thing go down. Well, what happens after that is that you get a food card. And you get what you get is you're entitled to a place in line, but not actual food or goods. And so the people with the best who are given the best jobs and those who got the best jobs were the most valuable to the Communist Party. You had to be a member in good standing. Everyone had to like you. You had to be seen as somebody who genuinely, legitimately, you know, wanted to further the aims of the Communist Party. Then you got the best meal cards. You got to go in the store first, pick all the good stuff. It was deliberately designed so that if you got one of the cards at the end, there was nothing left. There's nothing left. No clothes, no toothpaste, no soap, no food. Well, what would that mean? In order to live, you'd have to buy those things, get those things on the black market. Buying anything on the black market was illegal. Trading for something on the black market was illegal. You buy or trade on the black market, guess where you're going? You're going to Gulag. You're a trader. And so they would force the people at the end of the line who are the least valuable to the party to have to exist in a black zone because they deliberately did not provide enough food, clothes, fuel, any of that for the population. By the way, they already had an outline for how they were going to do this under Joe Biden. I've talked about it a lot on my Battleground America podcast. It was called the Lever Act. I've laid this out time and time again. And fortunately for us, the New York Times gave away the whole game in an article in June of 2022 because they wanted Joe Biden to get on with the environmental disaster declaration that would trigger the Lever Act. Lever Act was passed during World War I, and a lot of people don't know this, how far the left actually got with the Lever Act. Do you know they actually did manage to seize means of delivery for food, and the government controlled food? They were mandating things like meatless Mondays, and yeah, this actually happened during World War I. And it passed. It's federal law. It's probably one of the most powerful laws Congress has. So if you could trigger an energy emergency, what could you take control of? Means of production, energy. And so the New York Times wanted Joe Biden to get on with it. I think they were going to do it in term two. Declare a climate emergency and seize means of energy production using the Lever Act. Then you control it. This is why they wanted everything to be electric and not gas. It's not that gas pollutes. It doesn't. It's very clean, relatively speaking. But if everything was electric, then they could control it at the box. And this is why they wanted you driving an electric vehicle. They don't care about the environment. They know none of that climate change stuff's real. But if they can get you into an electric vehicle where it won't run if you can't plug it in, then they have total control over energy, total means of production control from the mine all the way out to your car, which will not run and will sit in your driveway and you will be trapped there unless you're in good standing. That's what they were going to do. And they were going to pair it with the social credit system and voila, total control. They may still get away with it. I don't know. They've had a lot of roadblocks go up for them. But he actually said it, folks. Quote, I want to empty the prisons, seize the means of production, and defund the police. Defund the police. Seize means of production. And again, the left had the plan to do that. Keep in mind where they were in 2022, too. I mean, they had just stolen an election. We're now finding out with the help of the Chinese and fake driver's licenses. They had just successfully stolen an election with fake votes by fake voters who were still on the rolls. I mean, they were right there. They weren't real. It was very easy to prove. And they had the Republican Party leadership totally cowed. You were a pariah if you even, you know, discussed a stolen election. They were laughing their butts off at us and they thought they were going to have total power forever. And that's why the New York Times gave away the whole end goal. We're going to use the Lever Act to seize food and fuel. And they would have. I think that would have been either term two of Biden's or term two of Harris's. I think that she would have wanted to get reelected. So she probably would have put it off the first 4 years. He's saying the same thing. Folks, you know what scares me about him? Really, really frightening. I mean, a lot of folks on our side say this is going to be great. Everyone's going to see how he operates. They're not going to want to put Democrats in power. True. But there is a very narrow scenario, not highly likely, but possible, that this kind of socialism spreads throughout the Democrat Party like wildfire. I mean, look, these Democrats just watched him go full bore socialist and win a primary. They're going to try this in other areas. It's going to be the thing inside the Democrat Party. And if by some means they get amnesty, Katie, bar the door, it's over. We're going to be living in a socialist / Marxist regime. And so it's easy to laugh right now when they're not that scary because they don't have power. And they don't have a good way back to power either because they have so humiliated themselves, destroyed their party. But should they ever get power again, you will rue the day that you cheered for this to spread. And folks, all it takes is one amnesty vote and they're back in business. And we always think it's not going to happen, but if it did, I mean, look, folks, in the first Trump term, Trump tried to do an amnesty. It would have been for 2 million, but really would have been more like 10 by the time you figure in all the fraud because they had no way of checking the documents to see if you were born here as a kid. I mean, Trump was trying to do that with the Democrats. If that happened, this is what will rule you. We don't want this to spread in the Democrat Party. We think we do, but we don't. Lord help us, this guy is nuts. But I've been telling you for a long time, this is what they believe on the left. Violence is speech when we do it. Remember Cuomo on CNN before they let go of him? Sometimes you got to get in their faces. Sometimes you got to stand up to the Nazis. That'd be us. We're the Nazis. Ma'am, Donnie's saying a similar thing. Listen to this. Violence is an artificial construct when they do it. When they do it. If the right people are doing the violence, highly valued Democrat voter classes, it is not violence. That's not just cray-cray. That's not something he came up with. That's classic Marxism. Classic Marxism. What we call lawfare today is classic Marxism, where the law applies in the absolute extreme to the disfavored political classes. They were actually named and categorized. There's 10 of them in Chinese society. If you are one of the five favored classes, i.e. the oppressed, you can basically not break the law, even if you're killing someone from the other class. You're beating them, you're stomping on them, you're hanging them. The law doesn't really apply to you. It basically barely applies. That's what he's talking about. Laws apply based on your political class.
Oftentimes, we've even found as legislators, when we go into these courts, the term violent crime is even used when people are stealing packages. Violent crime is even used when people are accused of burglary and there happens to be a housing unit in that same dwelling. So violence is an artificial construction. And we have to be very clear that what is happening here with these district attorneys, that is violence. That is violence at the highest degree.
See, so, and this is the same thing AOC has talked about. Well, you know, if somebody is hungry, if they have a baby and they don't make enough money and they just need some diapers, I mean, that's not, it doesn't count. That's just a Democrat victim class member reasserting their rights to goods and services. That's all that is. Now, if somebody on a January 6th protest damages Nancy Pelosi's computer, well, those people are from disfavored political classes, so they don't get to be violent, even if it's just a little pushing, a little shoving, and maybe somebody's computer gets damaged. That is an atrocity. Like, that is, you know, right up there with 9/11 and Pearl Harbor. Violence is an artificial construct. It is. Again, where is that? That sounds like cray-cray talk. That is straight up classic Marxism. He did not come up with that himself. He's not delusional. He's a Marxist. Listen to it again. Listen to how he reasons his way to this.
Oftentimes, we've even found as legislators, when we go into these courts, the term violent crime is even used when people are stealing packages. Violent crime is even used when people are accused of burglary and there happens to be a housing unit in that same dwelling. So violence is an artificial construction. And we have to be very clear that what is happening here with these district attorneys, that is violence. That is violence at the highest degree.
Right. So breaking into somebody's home, burglary, I don't care if it's an apartment or a house, it doesn't matter, not a violent crime, right? Why? Because the preferred political class, i.e. criminals, are the ones doing it. But violence is when a district attorney punishes them for it. And so you can see why this guy wants to not only defund the police. By the way, he said vice should be completely gone. So that means, you know, you're going to be able to sell women on the streets, girls, children, you've kidnapped. I mean, no problems. What he's describing the world this would create? Abject evil. We take no moral position on evil. We treat violence as if it's good and good as if it's violence. It's all the same thing. I mean, when you're saying breaking into somebody's home is not violence, but prosecuting somebody for breaking into somebody's home is violence. That's where this guy is coming from. This is why their societies always fail. This is what they are implementing from LA to Portland and all the other hellholes. This is why things are so dangerous in Chicago. This is how they think. And he's just saying it. He's saying what Democrats say to each other behind closed doors. But to them, it's very refreshing because now it's absolutely out in the open. And he's from that AOC school of, we're just going to tell them what we really believe and let the chips fall where they may. And that part, at least, I think, is very good. So violence is an artificial construct. Ignore the violent Democrat who just broke into your living room. Give him whatever he wants. You probably stole it anyway. And if anybody tries to prosecute him, well, that is violence. Folks, this is who the Democrats voted for. Let that sink in. Holy cow. Mike Gallagher's up next.